As I was walking down the street of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, many years after I pastored in the little town of Beaverdale, and a lady, I don't know what I was doing in Johnstown, I was at the hospital visiting someone, for some reason I was there, and one of the ladies from the congregation came up to me and said, "Aren't you Reverend Baker?" I said, "Well, I am, and who are you?" I recognized the face, and she told me, she said, "I don't remember one sermon you preached in 5 years." And she knew the number of years. "I don't remember one sermon you preached in 5 years." I thought, oh boy, what's she gonna hit me with yet now? But she said, and took her finger like this, and I'm telling you these little stories to get your attention and to see how God works in our lives and can work. She said, "But I do remember when my mom was dying, you came and sat with us by her bed when she was dying. I remember that, and I remember your good words at her funeral, but I don't remember any of your sermons." And then I thought of the time that there was a fire in our local community, and it was when I was still working at the lumber mill, and I lived in the town of Barnesboro, and our lumber mill was in Cherry Tree. The fire trucks from Barnesboro were going the 5 miles to Cherry Tree, and I didn't know what the fire was about. I thought the mill was on fire. No. The fire trucks went up to a little town called Greenwich. And when I got there, there was a big crowd around this house. They were company houses, 2 rooms downstairs, 2 rooms upstairs, maybe a bath built on the back. And I saw a man being held down because his little boy went back in. The boy was on the roof of the porch, and the dad jumped off and he said, "Jump," and the boy ran back in the house and he died. And I remember that dad screaming. I remember that awful night. And I remember they had other children, and I went home and I said, "Judy, they need blankets, they need diapers." And so we just packed up a box and took it out there to where they were staying. And I didn't have a chance to talk to the dad, but he said later, he said, "You're the first one that brought things that our children could use." I remember me and Blair Michael Butch, and you remember him, and you know this story because I've used it many times. Blair Michael went to church here. He was probably 85, and he liked me to go out for breakfast with him at 7:30. Well, okay. We went for breakfast, and in the American Hotel interchange, West King, this black guy came in when we were having breakfast. And he came over to our table, just walked in the door and came to our table, and he put his hands on my shoulder. And you don't see many black people around. And he said, "I want you to know that God is going to bless you for your ministry to people his age, like him. God is going to bless you." I go, "Ooh." And he walked away, went into the restroom. And then he walked out and he just waved. And Mr. Michael said, "Who was that?" I said, "I have no clue. He walked in this place." And I thought about that, and I got in my car. And on the way out here to this church, God said, "I sent an angel to minister to you." And what happened? I ended up 13 years down at that nursing home as a chaplain. We had the personal care home. And I like old people like you. We do. We love you. I'm here. We got a few younger folks. And I'll get to my main point here pretty quick. We always need to remember in our Christian walk that we come to serve and not to be served. That we're not in this relationship with God to see what we can get from Him, but what we can give to Him and His service. And I want to serve, and I'm not trying to puff myself up, but and because serving is a noble thing, but I think it's what God expects from us. He expects us to serve. The word says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means after we're saved, we got to be doing something. We got to be about the Lord's work. So let's look today. I'm not in Daniel this week. I'm sorry. We'll get back there next week. But I got diverged. How a conversation with folks that we run into on purpose. My wife will say to me, Ray, everywhere you go, they just flock. They might be the kind of the oddest people on the whole planet. But they flock to you. And I was selling hats up in Kane with Amy on Friday night. She does the hat thing. No, this isn't a commercial for her. And this boy came over and he said, he knew I was a pastor. We were talking. He had the next shop there. He said, can you tell me how you came to be a minister? And I told him, and I said, God spoke to my heart. How does He speak to you? He speaks to me through the Word. He speaks to me through His Holy Spirit. He speaks to me through people that are knowledgeable about Scripture. And there's so many ways that God speaks to us. And I'm glad for that. It's a good thing to be a Christian. But there's a conversation here that we need to look at. And Thomas, my friend Thomas, is going to come and read that scripture for us. Thomas, John chapter 3. That was just my introduction.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I'm grateful that you have once more resurrected me from retirement and that I've come back to minister. I thank you, Father, for the way that you have worked and in my life and in the life of my wife and family throughout the years, how you have blessed us. And I thank you for these people here. And I pray that you will continue to bless and use them mightily as we grow the kingdom of Christ, your kingdom, God, in this world. I pray that we will be open and receptive to your word. Speak to my heart as I share some thoughts this morning and share from your word. Help me, Father, to be an instrument of your love, and may Christ be seen in and through me. Bless this time together. I ask this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Have you ever had a conversation that's gone just right? The deal with a car salesman, he's selling you a car and you think you got a good deal, and then you get home and then you think, oh, I should have said this, or I should have done that, or any number of things that you might have had a conversation with. I had a conversation with a fellow buying our house, our first house. We bought a four-bedroom home with a big living room, kitchen, dining room on about three-fourths of an acre for $11,500. And I thought that was a good deal, and I went to the bank, and my dad was a businessman in town, and I just peeked my head around the corner. I said to Mr. Thorpe, "Mr. Thorpe, I want to buy the house down the block from you. How much do you need, Ray?" And I said, "Well, I need $12,000. He said, "It'll be ready for you on Monday." I didn't have to do anything. The money just came to me. It was great. And then we accepted the call to the ministry about a year and a half later. And I said to Judy, "You sell it." And she sold it for $18,500. We did all right. And we bought a mobile home to live in good old Toccoa Falls College, and piled our kids from a four-bedroom home into a three-bedroom mobile home. We survived. We made it. We moved here and there and through Bible school and all those things. And Scott said to me one day, I said, "Oh, we moved to Brookville." And he said, "As long as we're a family, that's where our home is." Isn't that nice, that little kid? Well, he was a teenager, and I just bought him a Camaro, so he was happy about that. I discussed with my father-in-law marrying Judy, and he was peeling potatoes at the sink, and I asked for Judy's hands in marriage, and he said, and we talked about it, and he had a knife in his hand. He said, "Whatever happens, don't bring her back." I said, "Oh, I won't bring her back. I'll keep her, and she'll be mine." In our scripture today, we find a man. He's a knowledgeable man, this fellow named Nicodemus. He held quite a place in the religious community there in Jerusalem. But in the conversation with Jesus, Nicodemus missed the obvious. The conversation turned out just right there in John 3. And in this conversation, Jesus reveals the essential truth of life. It's right there. It's there in a nutshell. You must be born again. I spoke those words when I spoke at a major church in Brookville. And people looked like that and they said, oh, we don't, after, they said, we don't believe in that born again stuff. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but, and in my sermon, I said, it's right there before you, and Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just conveying the word. I never got invited back. Okay, so that'll tell you something. So this is the essential truth of life. And remember that, because we deal with a lot of people. You do and I do. And if we miss this truth, we miss everything. We die, and we're spiritually dead. But thank God, as believers, we are spiritually alive, and we live forever. And who wouldn't want to live forever? It's ridiculous to think that you just evaporate and you don't go any further than death. Now, Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. Paul says, I therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's talking to those Christian, that Christian community at Thessalonica. Don't walk like those other Gentiles walk. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Get rid of that old life. Put those things off, because man's mind, man's eyes, mankind's eyes have been darkened to what's happening in their lives. And these folks have heard. It's like the headlights have been turned out in your car going down a dark road at night. You can't see. You can't find your way. But eventually, someone may bring along help. And we can bring along help, the Word of God. So this conversation between Nicodemus, and he was an influential man. He was a Pharisee. He was quite the man in the community. He was part of the Sanhedrin. And he had a conversation with Jesus, a carpenter's son. So we have the main cog, then we have a carpenter's son. But this is not a conversation between Nicodemus and a carpenter's son. This is a conversation between Nicodemus and God. He had a conversation with God. So we'll consider Nicodemus for a moment. He's intelligent. But the problem with this guy is that he had a hole in his heart. There was a big hole in his heart. He was dissatisfied with the members of the ruling council, and we'll see more about this as we go on. In spite of all that he had and everything that he accumulated and all the prestige that he had, he still had that hole in his life, and he wasn't happy. And he came questioning. And it's possible that there are some here who have all your many years or all your few years feel dissatisfied and feel empty and feel like there's a hole in your heart. We've got the answer. God has the answer. Isn't that right, Dick? We do. And perhaps you've tried it all and you're still not content. And you're not satisfied with things, and your life is not where you want it to be. Well, of course, it's not where we want it to be. We want to grow. We want to be set apart from the world. We want to walk in the light. We want to be a true light to those people in the world. And the words of this guy, I'm losing my, it's okay. The words of Nicodemus have unlocked the mystery of life to millions of people. Amazing. Through the years, these words have unlocked the mystery of life. Now, this matter of being born again. And when I say that, the idea of being born again is the idea, it comes to our minds of change. A new beginning, extreme makeover. If you ever watch House and Garden TV, if you get hooked on House and Garden TV, what do these young couples want? They want what we're finishing up with, or we have in our homes. They want to change that room, add a deck, have marble countertops in the kitchen, two sinks in the bathroom so you can talk while you're getting ready for work in the morning. And it's almost always the same thing that they want. Oh, it only has one sink. The house is $1.5 million, but it only has one sink in that bathroom. I wouldn't buy that house because there aren't two sinks. I wouldn't buy that house for $1.5 million. Not on your life. It's amazing what things cost. Granite countertops, double sinks. They want to make a change and tear this wall out and that wall out and make everything one concept room. And you've seen it all, you know. But you know, whenever we're born from above, we want to have and we can have an extreme makeover. We've gone from darkness to light. We're grateful to get up every morning and grateful to be prepared to share that word with someone, somehow, some way. When I wake up in the morning, I say to my dog, French Fry, do you have to go out? And French Fry goes in circles, and he goes out. And then he wants to sit on my lap. And he wants to lick my ear. And he does it. I let him. I wish I was as good as he thought I was. Or he thinks I am. But we need what Christ was bringing and what the God wants for us is that we do a spiritual flip. That through the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we can change our lives, our thinking patterns. We can, all those things can happen, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be careful. I don't want you to think that we can make these changes on our own. It's through the Holy Spirit. Here's the gospel. Christ gave the gospel in a nutshell. In 1 John 1:8 and 9, this is a great truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen carefully as I read this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Now, let's get back to my, we'll go to my surgery number two. I just realized I'm coming down. I gotta go here so I don't fall. I had heart surgery 25 years ago. 5 bypasses and 2 stents. And so I go from the ICU into a step-up room, Presby. And Sharon's along. Judy was on her way, or she wasn't in the room when I got moved. And so we go in the room. I'm in a wheelchair. And here's a guy laying on top of his covers. He's my roommate, in his boxer shorts and a t-shirt. And I said, oh, Sharon, wait outside. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. So he covered up, and he was a very nice guy. And I said to him after a while, and what's your name? And he said, my name's Richard Obenchain. It's an interesting name, Obenchain. And I told him my name, and I said, what do you do? And he said, I'm in construction. I said, oh, he was hedging. I want to know more. What kind of construction? Well, we build skyscrapers. I said, where do you build them? And we build steel mills. I said, you're not building one in Pittsburgh, are you? No, but we're in South America. And we're in China. And we're in all these places he named. And I said, well, who do you work for? Well, I work for Obenchain Industries. This was a big guy. This was a guy who had a lot of pull, who traveled in his own plane. Probably 80 years old. And so he said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. He said, you're the only pastor, and he didn't say it nicely, you're only the only GD pastor I know. I said, we're stuck together for 3 days. I figure we're gonna work on this guy. We're gonna do it. Holding my chest, telling me stories. And I read to him the story of Nicodemus and Christ, that encounter. And he said, that's interesting. That's quite interesting. And then 3 days were up, and off he went, and off I went. And he took my number and he called me. After we had to just take it easy for about 6 weeks, he called me and he said, Ray, I'm gonna come to Brookville to see you. And I said, oh, Dick, let me come down. He lived in Upper St. Clair down in Pittsburgh. Let me come down and see you. It's a long way. Ray, I'm coming up. I got a room at the Howard Johnson's, I guess, or whatever it was. And he said, I'll be there. I want to talk to you. So he came and we had lunch and then went back to his room. And he said, I'm interested in that story about that fellow that you told me about. And we talked the next morning after breakfast. And before lunch, that fellow prayed and asked Christ into his heart. God puts us at the right spot at the right time. His timing is so much better than ours. But we can't be afraid to speak the word. We can't be afraid to live the word before people. My neighbor Glenn, his his landlord said to me, "Ray, that guy is completely religious. He talks about God." I said, "Well, he is. I hope he doesn't tame down." That's what I said. And he just chuckled. I said, "He's a good guy. You can trust him, and they'll take good care of your place." And they have. They're doing a great job over there. But it's amazing because he said to me, "Ray, he's a little goofy." Because he never heard anybody speak the way Glenn is speaking. And I should be speaking more that way. Glenn's a good guy. Not afraid to speak up. And Carla backs him up. And then she comes in with a few good things too. So we're glad for those neighbors. The thing is, Richard Obenchain came and we talked on the phone for weeks after. And then one day his wife called and said, "Ray, this is Vera, I think, whatever." She said, "I wanted to tell you, Dick died last night." Just a few weeks after that. You got to get out and get going and get doing and share the word of Christ. Amen? Amen. Good, you're awake now. Let's go back and see where I'm lost on my paper. Richard Obenchain had a hole in his heart. Nicodemus was part of that group, those people of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, that should have recognized that this Jesus is the Messiah. This Jesus is the sent one. And the truth was right there before him, but he didn't get it. And in the first part of the conversation, a compliment is given to Christ. And he says, "You are from God." Nicodemus said, "You are from God." He recognized that this guy was special, but he didn't know exactly how special he was. And Christ said, "He must be born again." And it was hard for him to see. How can a man enter again into his mother's womb and be born again? It's not that kind of birth. It's a spiritual birth. And you'll be renewed. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, it tells us, verses 25 through 28, "I will sprinkle clean," this is the Lord speaking, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you," listen to this, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Isn't that amazing? All those heart surgeries. And here, the Lord gave me a new heart so long ago. And they just keep it pumping. They never touch my heart, just the arteries that go in there. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Those rules aren't restrictive. Those rules give us freedom. They're not restrictive. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53:6. John chapter 3 gives us life. It's no mistake that the Bible calls us sheep. I read about this herd of 1,500 sheep that followed their leader and jumped off a cliff. They all went over. 450 died. The remaining ones survived because they landed on the dead ones. And they could walk away. The pile was getting up there so high. Sometimes we follow a dumb shepherd. And we are lost. People follow their own lives, their own selves. And Paul said we're to put ourselves to death, our old selves. All we like sheep have gone astray. We can follow the fad and do whatever everybody else does. I saw something this week about fads. I'm going this way, Thomas. I saw something about fads, and this fellow was saying, I've seen a lot of fads in the church. And he went on, and he said, I've seen a great movement of the tongues movement. It split a lot of churches. I've seen the movement of name it and claim it. I've seen the movement of, well, you can name whatever you want. If you want Dick Bynes Chevy out there, you can name it today and you can get it tomorrow morning. No, it's not going to happen, is it, Dick? And I could go through. There've been all these things. Here's what we do. Here's a new program or a new thing to try and do this and do that. I'm telling you, it comes from us conversing with people. It does. We think back in the day, Sunday night was the evangelistic hour. Churches, people would come, the preacher would preach and people would get saved and then come back the next week to get saved again because they did something else. They kept coming back and repeating it. Joe and I, we've talked about this all. When I was a kid, I went to the church where you got re-saved every week. And if you didn't, the preacher would beat it out of you with his hand on your back. Get it out. Oh boy, I'm gonna stay away from that now. We follow the fads many times, but we've got to be thinking for ourselves. Nicodemus came at night, and so did Judas when he started to betray Christ. He started out good, but failed miserably. His motives weren't right. Now, what happened to this guy, Nicodemus? We hear about him in John chapter 3. Then we hear about him in John chapter 7. We see a bit of a progression. In John 7, Jesus was on trial, and he said, don't you think, and Nicodemus said, don't you think you should hear a man out? Listen to what he has to say. But it was already done. And then in John chapter 19, verse 38, listen to this. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, they had to be hush-hush about it, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. He had a tomb, and he was going to give it to Jesus. And look who's helping him. Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. That's what they would use for a monarch to bury him. Nicodemus came to know Christ. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see him. Wonderful. What a wonderful thing to be able to see Nicodemus and say, there's that guy that came to Jesus by night, and here he is. He found the light. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to have eternal life. It's a wonderful thing to have our sins forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you don't know Christ, you're missing out. You're missing out on a wonderful life. Not one that restricts, but one that gives and offers to you freedom, true freedom. Let's stand.